This episode is sponsored by me, Andy Hill, the host of this show. If you're looking for someone to support you on your family, wealth, and happiness journey, I'm taking on a select number of coaching clients this year. To work with me one-on-one for your family finances, go to marriagekidsandmoney.com/coaching to learn more.
Make your money do some work for you. That's the biggest thing. Don't let another day, don't let another year slip by. Make the good habit easy through automation.
This show is dedicated to helping you strengthen your family tree and live financially free. Welcome to the Marriage, Kids, and Money podcast, everybody. This is Andy Hill, and today we're talking about how to become a millionaire through investing. Yeah. Now, this millionaire path can be simple, but due to many factors, it doesn't always prove to be easy for a lot of people. I know when I was looking for a simple, straightforward approach to investing, it was hard to find. So how do we find a roadmap with simple steps that will help us become a millionaire in the future? Well, to help us on our straightforward millionaire mission, I've invited a financial leader who is all about making wealth building less complicated. Brian Preston is back on the show today, again with us one more time. Brian is the author of the new book, Millionaire Mission, a 9-step system to level up your finances and build wealth. He's also the founder and host of the Money Guy Show and managing partner and co-founder of Abound Wealth Management. This is an RIA with over $1 billion in assets under management. When he's not helping people on their millionaire mission, Brian enjoys vacationing at Disney with his family. Welcome back to the show, Brian.
Oh, Andy, it's always a blast. And thanks for the setup there. You know, I always enjoy coming on your show. And I'm also love hanging out with you in person. You're not a bad hang whenever I see you at all the conferences.
Absolutely. We got to do more of those conferences soon. I'll talk to you about that after the show where we're meeting up next. Absolutely. Now, Brian, there's a lot of ways to become a millionaire. I keep seeing them on the internet over and over again, you know? Why do you feel investing in the stock market is a smart idea for people to consider on their millionaire mission?
Here's what I find interesting. You know, we not only have a wealth management business, but, you know, I've been doing content creation since 2006. So it would be able to vote at this point, which is kind of crazy. But we do a lot of internal research. We even survey our millionaire clients. And we did a show yesterday, and the team reminded me from last year's survey that when we ask our clients, what was the path that brought you to millionaire status? Was it being a virtuoso at something, being so good with your athletic talent or musical or acting talent? No, that was a very small percentage. The same thing when it came to being an executive to a big corporation or maybe even being an entrepreneur. Those all showed up in our data, but they were smaller than I think most people would realize. The biggest number, greater than 70% of our millionaires who are clients, all came and attributed it to saving and investing. And I think that if people could just realize small little incremental decisions, if you'll just make the decision to do something today, a little bit goes a long way. And a lot of that is even in my path to wealth. You know, I think back, I don't come from money, but I remember sitting in my junior year of high school and my economics teacher, old Mr. Morrow, who was the Vietnam vet, helping with the wrestling team and all those things, he came in and just made a sidebar comment, wasn't even part of the curriculum. And he said, hey, if you guys would just invest $100 a month, you'll be a millionaire. And I remember thinking at the time, I was working the Hardee's drive-thru, and I was like, I could save $100 a month. And that kind of, that took the impossible goal of millionaire status and put it right in front of me. And I think everybody has that opportunity. You just need somebody to kind of, you know, flip the cards over, show you the path, and then kind of guide you into the inevitable wealth of becoming a millionaire.
You could have had a different thought back then. You have a background where you're not coming from wealth, and you could have said, well, this isn't for me. You know, I'd like to talk to you about a few limiting beliefs that I've heard people say over the time. That's really a stopping point for a lot of people when it comes to building wealth. And one thing I hear quite a bit is, I need a lot of money to invest, so I'm not going to get started. Talk to us about that limiting belief that you've heard.
That breaks my heart because, Ian, we always give the three ingredients to wealth creation. If people understood these simple three things, I think they'd be fundamentally changed. Because the first is discipline. You know, if people could understand that living on less than you make, having some deferred gratification. And look, I know that's hard. I recognize we just came through an inflationary period, post-pandemic. There's a lot of weird stuff that has happened economically that makes cost of living not as easy as it maybe was 5 to 10 years ago. However, I just know that just a little goes a long way, especially if you take into account the next two components. So discipline, deferred gratification, that's step one or the first ingredient. That leads to margin or money that you can then invest and let your money start working for you so you don't have to work with your back, your hands, your brain. It's better than your labor in the long term. And then you bring in the third component, the most important, but also one of the most, you know, scarce in the fact that it goes away and you don't get it back, time. And that's why anybody who's out there saying, I can't do it, I would encourage you, especially if you're in your 20s or 30s, you are so wealthy beyond your realization on being a time millionaire, even potentially billionaire, depending upon what your age is, that all you need to do is put that into effect and let compounding interest do the hard work. And I think you'll be there. You know, I grew up in a house, we didn't have a lot of money. But my parents were good with money and the fact that they lived on less than they made. And I think that is 95% of the struggle to building wealth is the discipline component of living on less than you made. The problem my parents didn't connect on was the behavioral side of then investing, taking that margin, that money, and actually putting it to work. They thought investing was buying CDs. They thought investing was having money in cash reserves. And always that saddens me because I think if that could have, if someone like me could have whispered in their ear, educated them on how powerful that talent of discipline was in their life, their financial life would have been completely different. And probably my history, my brothers, everybody in my family would have been impacted.
You know, another limiting belief that you could have had during that time is just that investing's too risky. It's too much, you know, like maybe that's why the CDs come up is because, oh, that's simple. I understand that. But stocks, it's too risky. What would you say to that?
I completely get this, especially after if you do anything with social media, you see everybody, they're trying to oversimplify it, but they're also giving you supposedly angles to cut off the path to, you know, to creating money through, and it could be Bitcoin, it could be penny stocks, it could be just choosing their newsletter stock picks, what could go wrong. The problem is that all those things, it sometimes is better to be lucky than good. I'm not saying you couldn't actually do any one of those paths and actually create success, but I'm trying to give you the easiest path or the most well-worn path, meaning, like I said, going back to my clients where 70% of them said saving and investing. How do you make that task as easy as possible? So that way the good habit is easy. I always say, think about it as fishing. Whenever you hear somebody who's telling you they got wealthy through an individual stock, Bitcoin, even real estate super young, I always think about the fact that it sounds like a good fishing story. Yeah, it's fun to go out and do sport fishing where you cast a rod and reel and you try to pick up the big whopper fish. But more often than not, that kind of you end up with a lot of what could have or should have happened than actually bringing home that trophy fish that you're going to put on the wall. I always say if you would think about fishing where you had to feed your family and create legacy and create something that would support your family, you'd fish with nets. And that's exactly what you ought to think about with investing. And that's why I love index funds. I mean, if you will think about the fact that you don't have to go pick the next latest, greatest stock. I even had a friend, we went down to spring training a few weeks ago, and he was like, hey, I hear a lot of stuff about NVIDIA. Do I have NVIDIA in my portfolio? And I said, well, since I've actually helped you with your portfolio, you have the F500. And NVIDIA has been on such a tear that you have, I think it was around, I looked it up, I went on Morningstar.com, and I think it was around 5% of the S&P 500 was NVIDIA. So I was like, you would do indeed have 5% of your holdings in NVIDIA. And that's the thing I try to tell people about buying index funds is that instead of trying to pick the winners and losers, just tie into the general market. I mean, I believe in this concept of the law of accelerating returns. If you think about how fast technology is moving right now, I think if you fast forward to 10 years in the future, it will be no different than somebody who watched the 50 years of change, you know, maybe in the late 90s. That is the speed that we're going. So you don't have to try to figure out who the winners or losers, because there's going to be a lot of businesses that fail. Just buy the general market and you will benefit from all those things. If you're worried about artificial intelligence, there will be ways to make money off of that through the S&P 500. And if you don't feel completely comfortable with, okay, you're telling me the S&P 500 or a total market index is a good thing, but what about asset allocation? What about how do I change that as I'm getting older? I always then tell people who aren't comfortable with investing, if you can just answer two questions, how much money can I save and invest, and when do I need the money? We live in the greatest time to invest because there's now actually products called indexed target retirement funds, and the big providers are like Vanguard, Fidelity Investments, Charles Schwab. You can go look at those. The fees are super cheap. They're going to be super aggressive while you're young, but then they're going to have a glide path that gets more and more conservative as you approach the date that you declared that you wanted this money to be available for you. And then I love, there's even some variation between the, so if you look at them and you say, this one's too conservative, this one's too aggressive, there is going to be the Goldilocks perfect one just sitting out there when you start doing your research. Just make your money do some work for you. That's the biggest thing. Don't let another day, don't let another year slip by. Make the good habit easy through automation.
Index funds, even index target date funds, that makes the process easy. Where's the best place to start investing? We hear a lot of the IRAs, Roth IRAs, 401ks. Where's the best place to start?
Man, now you're getting into, this is speaking my love language. You know, this is why I wrote Millionaire Mission, and that's why I'd encourage everybody to go to moneyguy.com/millionairemission so you can get the details. But I have written the origin story on the financial order of operations. Just like, you know, if you think about math, we all learned it in middle school that if you didn't know PEMDAS, you couldn't get to the right result on the math equation. You wouldn't know, do you do the parentheses first, the exponents, multiplication, subtraction? It will throw you off unless you actually understand, please excuse my dear Aunt Sally, the PEMDAS, you know, that they taught us in middle school. It's the same thing with your personal finances. What do you do with your next dollar? So I've tried to create a system, and you can download this completely for free, even if you're not buying the book. So, but moneyguy.com/resources, it's the 9 steps. And you'll notice 1 through 4 is really to get your foundation underneath you, but with the exception of maybe 2, which is get that free money from your employer match. And that's so powerful just because if somebody's going to offer you a 50 to 100% guaranteed tax, you know, rate of return, you can't walk away from that. But what I think, Andy, you're hitting on is when you start investing, what's the first bang for your buck? I always like step 5, which is the Roth IRA, because man, oh man, if you want to get me excited about something, think about compounding growth, that concept that you can turn a dollar into $88 by retirement, maybe even more if you got matching and other funds out there. But still, it's the component. That $87 of growth could be completely tax-free through a Roth account. They don't give you a tax deduction now, but it's completely tax-free. I get excited thinking about all the tax-free millionaires that are out there being, you know, essentially created and seeds planted on a daily basis as they're learning about these concepts.
When we talk about how much to invest and things like that, I've been a part of a lot of different movements, Brian. I've been a part of the FIRE movement. I've been a part of the Ramsey movement. There's lots of different percentages out there of all that we should do. What's your belief on the amount that we should be investing with regard to our income?
Well, I want to give, first, let me put a disclaimer, or I call it a grace statement, is that I'm going to tell you the hard and fast rule that we believe in. And we actually have the research to show what 25% of your gross income can do for you. But here's the thing I'm going to tell you. If you're in your 20s and you're watching this, that's aspirational. The research we've done, and if you go to moneyguy.com/resources, we have what can 25% do for you. And the dirty little secret for the 20-somethings is that 10%, 15% kind of crush it if you start early enough in your 20s. But that's not what I want you to be aspirational towards 25%. Now, the rest of the answer is that if you haven't started by the time you're 40, you've got to do 25% or potentially even more so that it replaces your income in the future. But if you started anytime between 30 to 39, you're going to see 25% is going to pretty much help you cover a lot of your financial goals by retirement, because you still have enough of that time component to let your army of dollar bills kind of build and grow in the background. So that's, and look, if you can't start there, because I know that's a big number, a quarter of every dollar you make to go towards the future seems like a lot. So take our 60-40 challenge. Every time you get a pay raise, let 60% go towards increasing your savings and investment. Let the 40% kind of flip into the lifestyle. I think, unfortunately, most people do the exact opposite of that. They kind of let 90% go to lifestyle, and then they say, hey, I'll give a wink and a nod towards increasing the investments.
Let's say that somebody is excited about this and wanting to move up to 25%, but that's pretty jarring. Are there things they could do in the short term to maybe work on that gap a little bit to help them move towards 25%?
Let me say this, because it's going to make it seem so much more digestible. If you have household income less than $200,000 for a married couple, $100,000 for a single individual, I would say count your employer match, or any money the employer is putting in. That's going to cut the edge off that 25%. Especially if you think about, if you work for a typical employer that either offers you 50 cents or dollar for dollar matching, let's just say dollar for dollar, up to 6% of your pay, and then you're doing 6% on your 401k, that's 12%, almost half of the 25% right there. So that's why, when you take the financial order of operations in combination, all the steps, you're going to quickly realize by the time you get to step 5 and 6, just naturally taking advantage of all the tax opportunities and other things with your savings, you're going to get to 25%. So that's why, don't let the number scare you. Realize there's things working in your favor. Now, a lot of your audience is probably like our audience, where they've had success and now they blow past $200,000 of household income. Now, because you're further from the safety net of Social Security and other things that the government provides, more and more falls on your shoulders. So you better not fall asleep at the wheel without reaching that 25% goal, because it's not really aspirational at that point. It's an imperative, just so you don't wake up one day at 55 to 65 years of age and go, why don't I have more money working for me?
Are you looking for someone to walk alongside you on your journey to family financial independence? Well, I would love to help you achieve your goals and help your family thrive. I work with couples, individuals, and families all around the U.S. via video chat, and can assist in the following areas: becoming debt-free, growing your net worth, crafting and sticking to your budget, reviewing Coast Fire plans, developing strategies to build generational wealth for your kids, and designing your future work optional lifestyle. Doesn't that sound nice? If you're interested in working with me one-on-one, you can book a time with me by visiting marriagekidsandmoney.com/coaching. I would love to help you strengthen your family tree and live financially free. Visit marriagekidsandmoney.com/coaching to learn more, or you can click the link in our show description. If you're looking to improve your financial situation, it helps when you're able to cut out unnecessary costs. Cell phone services are a necessity for sure, but we don't need to be overpaying for them, right? That's why I like Telo Mobile, a phone service worth talking about. We've been fully on board as a family with Telo for over 2 years now, and we are so happy that we made the switch. For us, the reception and data service is better than Verizon, and our costs were nearly cut in half. Telo runs on the T-Mobile network, and it's wowing new customers like us with their rock-bottom prices and stellar service. With over 10,000 reviews, Telo is rated as excellent on Trustpilot, and this is quite rare in the wireless world. Nicole and I went for the unlimited data, minutes, and texting plan for only $25 per month each. Isn't that crazy? You heard that right. $25 is their most expensive plan, actually. And Telo is running a special offer for MKM listeners right now. Check out Telo today at marriagekidsandmoney.com/Telo. That's marriagekidsandmoney.com/Telo, and use the code MKM20 to get 20% off on your first month of service for any Telo plan
above that $10 per month mark. Again, use MKM20 to get 20% off at marriagekidsandmoney.com/tello, and you'll be supporting this show. Hurry up! The code is valid until April 19th, 2024. marriagekidsandmoney.com/tello.
Now, if somebody dedicated themselves for a extended period of time and they said, hey, I've been growing my income, I'm doing the 25%, how long would it take to become a millionaire in your estimate? I know that's a broad swath, but I'm sure you guys have looked into it.
Yeah, and you've probably seen the same data too. And this is the part where I don't want people to be frustrated by this. I'm hoping that it actually frees you when you see the reality, because I think so much of social media makes you believe that every 27-year-old out there is driving around in Lamborghinis and living their best life while you're still struggling through the messy middle of, you know, career commitments, you know, your family life, your children, all the things you talk about on your show, Andy. I mean, that's why we call it the messy middle. Those years are long. I mean, the days are long, but the years are extremely short. It really does sound like a country music song, but that's not the reality. The reality is that building wealth is slow, patient work, where that's why I say set it and forget it. Create those automated behaviors that make that good habit as easy as possible, because the research, and this is what you were asking about, the research shows, and this comes from Ramsey Solutions, is that most millionaires, and I've seen this, by the way, it's confirmed by Millionaire Next Door when I've looked into their data as well. The typical millionaire occurs in your late 40s. Ramsey Solutions puts it directly around 48 years of age after saving and investing for 27 to 28 years. But look, we have a whole stable of clients and listeners to our Money Guy show who are crushing through that incredible goal even in their late 30s. So I think that I always say that if you come and hit this hard and then you're disciplined, you don't have to be average and be at that 48. You more than likely could do this for 15 to 20 years. And I think that probably echoes your own journey, Andy, as you've kind of shared a lot of your journey, and you guys hit it much sooner than 48 because you were very committed to walking through and saving beyond 25%. So you blew through those goals much sooner than that.
It took us about a little less than 10 years, but I think a big part of it was the amount of income we had. We were in the higher 180s, 190s for an extended period of time, 10 years. So the more money you make, the process becomes a lot easier, obviously the savings as well.
Yeah, just make sure you have the discipline. Because I mean, we just did a show on people who make incomes over 100,000, 150, even over 250,000. And you'd be shocked at how many, I mean, even on the 250, that's close to half are living paycheck to paycheck. And that, so when I hear about stories like that, that's not an income issue. That's a discipline issue. And unfortunately, a lot of people struggle with that, even if they have income.
I think I was driven by certain things that maybe were a little bit more false in my mind too. So I want to talk about some of those false pursuits a little bit too. When we look at what it means to be a millionaire, and you even Google images millionaire or whatever, like there's a lot of things out there that are a depiction of what it means to be a millionaire. How do you see the benefits of actually being a millionaire in your eyes?
Walk away from the persona that the consumption society we live in has put forth on what millionaires look like. I mean, there's a reason when Millionaire Next Door came out in the mid-90s, it was such a big, and I know it's got some age on it now, but I'm just taking you back in time. What really made a splash back then was that the car that it shared that was the most popular among millionaires was the F-150 truck. And you're like, well, wait a minute, how does that reconcile with everything I see on TV, now social media? And I'm just telling you that what you've been preached or told or sold through all the advertisers and everybody who's trying to tell you what you need to do, live your most fabulous, you know, life out there, is wrong. Because the typical millionaire is, you know, they're living a modest lifestyle. I mean, that's just that's not what's presented to us. And it's I respect that. I mean, you typically will see people who put this time in because they own their time. And that's the really the gist of your question, is what do you get if you focus on this? You know, I originally go back to my 26-year-old self. I told, and I mean, anybody who listened to me, I said, I'm going to be retired by the time I'm 50. I'm going to save so hard so I can be retired. Now, at the time, the goal was noble because I thought I wanted to leave work. But what I've realized just walking that journey and now being over 50 is that all that setup, even though I have no desire to ever retire now, it's funny how when you love what you do every morning, you don't feel like you need to walk away from it. But I've realized all that investing I did when I was in my 20s and oversaved and invested has bought me this margin of flexibility to where I do things on my terms, when I want, how I want. And what I found is I'm more productive. I mean, things that I am investing in now as a passion for content, even starting a podcast, I did this in 2006 as a hobby. I mean, what a complete nerd I am that I didn't realize this was the greatest business idea I was ever going to do. I was just doing it because I always wanted to be a school teacher. I felt sad that most people didn't qualify for a high net worth financial fee only fiduciary financial advisor. So I was like, I'm going to pay it forward by creating content. And I think that is a big part of people just understanding what money is. And it's not, it's a tool. It's not the goal.
I think somebody maybe has clicked on this episode and they are thinking, man, I can't wait to become a millionaire. I don't like my life right now. I am so unhappy. When I become a millionaire, I'm going to be so happy. What would you say to that person?
This is why I think our show is a little unique, is that without a doubt, I'm a nerd. I've always been very analytical. I'm good at math and those things. But I think my superpower and why our content connects is that I've always been this like sentimental sap that's also very perceptive on what people are thinking, what they're feeling. And that's helped me kind of create the behavioral side and enter with the math of being good with money. And what I have learned, and we do this whole series on the five levels of wealth. And I always talk about the tippity top on the fifth level is abundance. And this is not what most people aspire to. Most people aspire to actually step four, which is freedom. That's where you get to do what you want, when you want, how you want. And I always say what abundance is once you actually have the money. Money's not the goal anymore, but you've taken the time to know who you are, what you value, and what gives you purpose. And so that person who's sitting out there thinking that the dollar amount, if I can get to 3 million, 5 million, whatever your number is, because I run across these people all the time that they have now put that this dollar amount is going to be the solution to all their life problems. And I'm like, no, you have to kind of spend some time on the behavioral side to know who you are, what you value, and what gives you purpose, because that's going to help you know what makes you happy, how you can navigate this life. And if you can start putting that time in, because the money is not going to fix it. It lubricates opportunities. Don't get me wrong. I mean, if you want the front row seat to your favorite, band, you got to have money to do that. If you want to take your spouse on a great vacation or eat at the nicest restaurants, money can make happiness a little bit easier, but it's not going to be the solution to actually create this life that you think it will. You've got to put that work in to know yourself and know what gives you purpose, and all the research on happiness and fulfillment. Yes, money's a component of that. And there's that whole controversial Stanford study at 75,000. I'm not getting into that. I think that more falls into stability once you can pay your bills. That's not happiness. That's not fulfillment. That just means you don't stress about paying the bills. But I think that the real answer on happiness is, what are your relationships like with your family? What's your spirituality? What are your hobbies? That's the type of work that I encourage everybody. Don't, do the math. That's the leg day. Nobody wants to go do leg day, but you need to go do it to have the full, well-rounded physical body. It's the same way with your finances. Do the saving and investing, but make sure you're putting in the work on the mental stuff, the behavioral stuff, so you kind of don't get there and find that it's disappointing or even somewhat empty.
And start as early as possible too, because in the long term, that pays the most dividends, I truly believe.
Lottery winners are more likely, once you win the lottery, for some reason, even though you have this massive windfall, you're more likely to file for bankruptcy. Why? That makes no sense. And it shows, so if money, if it was just math, if that was the solution, these lottery winners are all the professional athletes we've watched make big money. shouldn't have all these failures. But the problem is all their dreams, their windfall dreams, are all based upon consumption and what they can buy. And that's no different than the person you described that's working at the job thinking when they get to 3 million, 5 million, it's going to solve all their problems. If the professional athlete, if the lottery winner actually, you know, spend some time on that fifth level of wealth, which is, like I said, the abundance stage of knowing who they are, what they value, and what gives them purpose, it changes that scenario completely.
Yes, there is so much, not only financial research out there, but scientific research out there proving what Brian's talking about right now. Speaking of great material, talk to us about your new book, where people can get it and where people can listen to your show.
Yeah, this thing, by the way, just like I started the podcast because I felt this desire to be a teacher, I have poured everything into this book. I mean, this is, it's like most big things in life. If you actually knew what went into it, you might not start the process because it's a lot more moving parts than you realize. But I am just thrilled that I'm hoping that the same thing that happened to me when I remember in the mid 90s when I read The Wealthy Barber and The Millionaire Next Door, and they just lit. I mean, it was like a lighting a stick of dynamite, and my brain just exploded on all the excitement. Then I brought that forward with the Mr. Morrow moment from high school. And I was like, man, I can do this. I want that for everybody who picks up this book. If you've ever wondered, is there a better way to do money? What do I do with my next dollar? I have tried to put it in there. So if you come from nothing, this is going to be kind of the roadmap to success. If you're somebody who's done well, maybe, you know, even Andy, you, I think when you read the book, there's going to be such nerdy stuff in here to maximize your wealth building. You're going to pick up some tips. And anybody who's even in their 40s and 50s, because I think I get criticized sometimes because I'm saying, yeah, you talk about the 20 and 30-year-olds. What about those 40 and 50-year-olds that are getting a little bit later start in there? I put an entire chapter in here on how you catch up and, you know, what levers you can control. How do you let your money do the heavy lifting? So I've tried to really reach everyone where they are. And that's why I would encourage, you know, please go on this journey with me because I'm trying to change the world. I don't have some big corporation behind me. I just have a lot of passion, a lot of excitement. I want to see results from everybody who kind of goes on this journey with me. And so if you go to moneyguy.com/millionairemission, we have all the different vendors you can buy. It's going to be out there in all the classic places, you know, whether it's Barnes and Noble, Amazon. I mean, we have gone the full path on this. If you like, maybe you listen, you're an audience member, you like my Southern twang and how I mispronounce 80% of the words in the English language, then it's also going to be coming out on Audible as well.
I definitely did nerd out on the three bucket strategy. There's something for everybody in there, man. Absolutely. Millionaire Mission. Check it out, everybody. Brian, thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Andy. I had a blast.
Keeping that millionaire mission simple and straightforward. Here are my top three takeaways from my conversation with Brian Preston. Number one, index funds quiet the noise. There is so much noise out there when it comes to what to invest in. Single stocks, options, crypto, blah, 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 blah. Investing in index funds is not only simple, but it's proven and effective. This is the exact strategy that my wife and I used on our millionaire mission. And I'll tell you from experience, it works. Number two, your employer match at work is powerful. Getting free money from your employer through a 401k match can help you boost your savings rate and hit your millionaire goal a lot sooner. Personally, I benefited from this with my last employer. Year after year, I would receive thousands of dollars in free money from my employer. This grew substantially over my 7 years there as an employee as I was maxing out the 401k and getting that employer match. When I left, I had accumulated $200,000. That $200,000 has turned into now $300,000 over the last few years through additional contributions, time, and compound interest. If I don't add another dime to that total and let it cook for another 20 years, I could have over $1 million at retirement. And that factors in inflation as well. So, in short, get that employer match. Number three, becoming a millionaire will solve some of your problems, just not all of them. If you're miserable without wealth, you can still be miserable with wealth. Now, I do believe that money can buy a level of happiness, but money won't do the hard work of discovering your purpose and helping you determine what truly matters most in your life. The good news is You can do that discovery at whatever stage of wealth you're in. Once you earn enough to take care of your basic needs, allocate time for personal reflection and discovery. If you're so driven and you think, I'll be happier when I'm rich, then you're not taking the time to realize a rich life, in many senses of the word, can happen now. And those are my top three takeaways, everybody. I would love to hear from you on what yours were. Please hit me up on social media at Marriage Kids and Money on Instagram and Facebook, and at Andy Hill MKM on LinkedIn. Let's keep this conversation going. As a quick reminder, this show is for entertainment purposes only, my friends. Be sure to seek out a professional for your specific financial situation. A big thanks to Dan Tabbitt and Johnny Soul for editing our show today, to Mandy Burt for her stellar writing on our blog, Nev Mirage for her podcast support, and Weird Digital Marketing for their social media expertise. This content is not possible without these folks. Thank you all so much for your support, as always. Hey, if you want to create some connections with like-minded people who are on a mission to improve their families' finances, well, you should join us in our Thriving Families Facebook group. This is a free Facebook group focused on helping families thrive. You know, Facebook, that thing that Mark Zuckerberg made? Yep, still around. Every so often, I ask people in that group to share some family wins they've had. Recently, group member Harmony shared this family financial win with us. She said, my husband got a raise at work, and we increased our monthly budget allocations towards our goals. Harmony, that is excellent news. This is exactly what Brian was talking about today. If you're working on increasing your savings rate or having difficulty getting to that 25% that he's talked about, an excellent time to do this is with wage increases. Instead of just inflating your lifestyle, which can be fun, inflate your savings rate as well. Harmony, I wish you the best with your family financial goals that you're working on. Can I get a round of applause for our friend Harmony for sharing with us? All right. Thank you, Harmony. If you're looking to make some connections with like-minded families and get inspired by their goals and plans, please check out our free Thriving Families Facebook community. Go to marriagekidsandmoney.com/community. That's marriagekidsandmoney.com/community. I hope to see you there. In the spirit of growth and inspiration, I'm going to end the show with a quote today from Jack Bogle. Rely on the ordinary virtues that intelligent, balanced human beings have relied on for centuries. Common sense, thrift, realistic expectations, patience, and perseverance. Here's to your millionaire future, everyone. Carpe diem.